moon belongs to everyone. The best things in life are free. The stars belong to everyone. They gleam there for you and me. The flowers in spring, the robins that sing, the sunbeams that shine, they're yours, they're mine, and love can come to everyone. The best things in life are free.
Yes, the best things in life are free, like this podcast. Now, longtime readers, listeners will know I had a podcast of a sort years ago, and they were pretty fun, but they were a lot of work to produce. And it was recently suggested to me that maybe I should just sort of read my posts, and with that, maybe I can get a little bit more interest in some of these Broken Science initiatives. So today I'm going to read, more or less read or follow along on the post, How Nonsense Masquerades as Science. Now, there's certain keywords on my site, it's fine, but when I'm posting this to YouTube and other places, the censors will get me for reasons that are well known to longtime listeners anyway, and which we need to understand very closely. But this is the Climate Code Red example. Now, one of the big reasons that broken science is broken is that there's a lot of nonsense being passed off as science by experts, highly credentialed, highly placed, well-funded experts. Now, today's example, and a very prominent one, comes from the peer-reviewed journal Bioscience. Now, I emphasize peer review all the time to show the weaknesses of peer review. Peer review is nothing but a conformity enforcer. And that's what it's doing for us today, too. The paper we're interested in is World Scientists Warning of a Climate Emergency by William Ripple and a bunch of others. Now, this is an update of a paper that had appeared first in 2020. Now, again, the paper title is World Scientists Warning of a Climate Emergency. Now, the word emergency isn't exactly undefined or unknown to us. We all know the difference between what's an emergency and, you know, a mere matter of concern or something that might even just be a problem. I mean, we know the word so well that we know the weather we're experiencing anywhere in the world is not any kind of emergency, even if it might possibly someday, perhaps, you know, who knows, maybe be a problem, which it now is not. A problem, that is, let alone an emergency. The weather is not acting in any extraordinary way, and we've demonstrated this time and again. Now, even though we know the word emergency, it doesn't have a scientific meaning. Emergency as a word has no place in scientific discourse because it's not really measurable. And neither does the term code red. This is a term used in the article's opening sentences. Here they are. Here's the first two sentences of the article. We are now at code red on planet Earth, say these scientists. Humanity is unequivocally facing a climate emergency, end quote. All right. Since we're talking about science here, what precisely is a code red? Is it different from a code orange or a code puce? What precisely now differentiates code red from code indigo? How many codes are there? How do we measure or characterize without any ambiguity their characteristics? Well, obviously, we can't answer any of those questions. They're not even meant to be asked. Which means this term code red is not part of science. It's nothing to do with science. It's hyperbolic. It's editorial. It's scientific nonsense. This paper, then, is off to a bad start. It purports to be a science paper, but it's not. It's already signaled it's a work of politics and not science. Though, of course, the work can't function well as a science paper. It might have immense value politically. Now, that's very true. That's a different thing. So let's look at the very next sentences, the very next sentences of the article, two of them. Quote, "The scale of untold human suffering, untold human suffering, already immense, is rapidly growing with the escalating number of climate related disasters. Therefore, we urge scientists, citizens, and world leaders to read this special report and quickly take the necessary actions to avoid the worst effects of climate change." End quote. Now, the scale of untold human suffering, well, is it told or is it untold? And if it's how do we know it's really there if it's untold? I mean, that's one thing. But what we have here is the scale of suffering due to poor or inclement weather is not already immense. The suffering is not rapidly growing either. This is preposterous. This we know too from work of men like Bjorn Lomborg. One citation will do. I have it on the website. You can go and look. It's a picture he wrote or drew of climate-related deaths starting from around 1920 to around the year 2020. Climate-related deaths, well, these are due to floods, drought, storms, wildfire, extreme temperatures, and the like. We're up at around 500,000 in 1920, back when the population was about a third of what it is now, or less, a quarter maybe of what it is now. And it's dwindled down to into the low thousands right now. Okay, now, this is a scientific graph, although it's not a perfect graph. I mean, he's very careful with this graph because he tries to define, and of course, there's references. This is just one graph of many, and he has papers and he has works that you can go and look and say, here is exactly what a climate death is, and here is how I estimate these things. Now, we could dispute the definition and say, here's how the numbers would change if we change the definition. And of course, all of these things are subject to a substantial uncertainty, how many people exactly died in 1920 of climate-related deaths and so forth. So there should be some plus or minus around it. But nevertheless, something like this graph is true if we go and read this in literature from the reality-based scientist. It's up around 500,000 to plus or minus, down to a handful, a few thousands. Now, there is no sense in anywhere, in any observational data, that things are growing worse and that the untold human suffering is already immense and rapidly growing. In fact, it's absolutely false to say that, and the exact opposite is true. Now, we could make these scientific criticisms of Lomborg's thing because they speak to the measurements and the certainty we have in the figure, the numbers on the graph. But one thing we absolutely know, again, is that Ripple, one of the authors of our paper, his rapidly growing suffering is just plain false. It's not true, which, again, doesn't make the statement valueless. Since we're dealing with a political paper and not a scientific one, and in politics anything goes, especially lies, now Ripple is going to get away with his falsehood and his co-authors. Which is why he goes from the strength, the political strength of this rapidly growing to, in the very next paragraph, he says, quote, "The consequences of global heating are becoming increasingly extreme. And the outcomes, such as global societal collapse, are plausible and dangerously underexplored," end quote. Global societal collapse. And of course, that's just asinine to say. We could criticize that term, I guess, but it's undefined. It means only what the horrors are held in the minds of individual readers. It's in no way scientific. And as far as it being dangerously underexplored, that's another falsity. These things are explored on a daily basis, at least on a daily basis, if not hourly, by this certain segment of scientists. Now, we can delve into this paper deeper. It's not that it doesn't have any aspects that look like science. It does. I mean, for instance, there's a table in there which sort of tries to catalog the disasters that are happening. One entry of the table claims April. This is a quote now. April of 2022. Quote: climate change likely contributed to extreme rainfall in eastern South Africa, which triggered flooding and landslides that killed at least 435 people, and affected more than 40,000 people, end quote. Well, now, that sounds semi-scientific. It's not, though. It's not fully scientific, and it's pure advocacy. And what makes it advocacy and not science is that Ripple attempts to give, makes no attempt to give any alternate and even more likely explanations for the rain. Plus, there's many critiques. I provide them myself. I have a link on the blog. Providing these attribution studies that say, you know, when any particular bad event happens, climate change is 35% responsible or something. At absolute best, these methods are vastly overcertain, and almost certainly they're just plain wrong. For one thing, you notice they never give these attribution studies for pleasant, warm, sunny afternoons. These are never caused by climate change. Climate change only causes bad things. To make this paper science, which could be, it could happen, and not advocacy, these legitimate and strong criticisms must be at least mentioned. You cannot, as a scientist, only say, here's the cause I think is the one that I favor, and not discuss, at least discuss, even to just dismiss them, other possible causes, other possible explanations. You have to, science is not that easy just to say that I think it's this and that's it and you're done because everybody else is saying that. No. Each claim made about the causes for the weather supposedly running amok has to be investigated thoroughly, and they're not. Now, science, of course, is about discovering the causes of observables. If all possible likely causes are not given or investigated, then the work can be no better than bad science. At absolute best, it will only be bad science, or it's no science at all, as we have here. But this paper will be taken as science, especially by those rulers who have, quote, solutions, end quote, to sell, especially since its original 2020 version attracted, they say, quote, 14,700 signatories from 158 countries, end quote. Now, isn't that depressing? If you're in the majority who take science to be a vote, in the majority, and who are under the spell of scientism, then this number of science is irresistible. Well, this is only one paper among many. We're going to explore very many more. I'll have, of course, on the blog, transcripts of all these things, and also I will have these podcasts and some video casts. I'm exploring formats and everything. You'll stick around with me. I'm welcoming all suggestions. Meanwhile, here is some advice from one of our compatriots.